actually just pulling it.
Okay. Good morning. This is Friday, January 25th. It's 8:30 a.m. And we are here to discuss the auditor's budget. So I'll start, as we have in the other sessions, with Auditor Lucy Martin. And any highlights, comments you'd like to talk about in the budget?
Sure. Thank you. Good morning. I'd just like to take a moment to thank my staff. I have my management staff here, Lisa Barkley, Travis Lykes, and Kevin Norris. And not only do their hard work for people to raise money, but the way they support one another is really nice. So I'd like to write back that. And also thank you to the board. I would say so much support from your departments, especially during this last general election. So really from, you know, the night janitor at HSC to the IT director, I always get just, and I think I've bugged the list like four times this week. So everybody is just fairly responsive, and it's just a nice place to work, and I appreciate that you give that support to everybody that works for Storytown. Also your ongoing efforts to improve the benefits, the job descriptions. Been here for almost 15 years, and I can really see it's a good place to work, and it's been a better place to work over the years. So thank you. Just a few things about the auditor's budget to keep in mind is that it goes like this because of our election cycle. We also, because we pay for federal elections, but we get reimbursed for school and city elections and special elections. Looking at a three-year average is not necessarily the best way to look at certain things. Some new things in our budget is we have, for the first time, a combined city and school election coming up November. So you'll see in both the revenue and expenditure lines that school and city elections are zeroed out. There's now a combined line item that is created for me for city school elections. We're going into a new world of elections here. We have both hardened ID requirements, which we are making the best guess of what that's going to cost. And the combined school election, our best guess is that it's going to look a lot like the primary election. So that's how we budgeted for that. Related to that is also a countywide mailing, because that change in the election changes everybody's polling place information on their card. So that's why you see that mailing in our expenditure line. And then, of course, the big nut in my budget, which came up during CIP, is replacement requests for our e-poll books. And just some funding things to keep in mind is that both the primary election and those e-poll books could be paid for out of the supplemental fund if the board chose to do that. We talked about moving election costs to the supplemental fund every time that is an option for us. But if you read the elections and voter registration, our costs are allowed under the supplemental fund. So something that we might want to talk about today. But with that, we can take questions about revenues, which are not a huge for the auditor's office ever. Most of our transactions are in one quarter, and even that has gone down as we have gone to scanning and emailing things to people. Our plat books are, we just sell at Fox, and the school and city election, we have a revenue there matching what we put down for expenditures, and that would be the actual cost for FY20 when we plat. So the nice thing about elections is that primary elections and general elections are paid for on two different fiscal years, but those are two big costs that the county bears, all counties bear.
I did have just a question about the plat book fees. in the narrative it said we will order more. So are you almost running out, or is it just that the new year will be coming?
We have run out. What we've figured out after looking at several years of activity is that in a general election year, we sell more black books because we have some traffic in the building. If people see our posters and they come to our counter, and they're like, you know, they came in to vote, but then they decided to spend money on a black book too while they were here. So we have been producing a black book every year, but just like in a general election, our costs go up and down. So we are considering going to an every other year flat book. What happens with that is we buy sort of an initial amount, and that determines the cost, and then we can buy more books, I think in 25 book increments to replace those. What we're looking at is doing like an even numbered year of books. Possibly, no determination has been made yet, possibly not do flat books anymore. The counties, with the Beacon website and Google Maps and everything, flat books are not, paper maps in general, I think, are not what people are interested in having anymore because they go out of date fast and a flat books go online. Now there's a lot of good information there that you're not going to get on Google Maps or even necessarily the Beacon website, but it's an ongoing discussion in our office for that. But we can order more books in 25 book increments. We're sort of hanging back to see what the demand is now that we're in sort of a fallow period in terms of
what part of, or what percentage, or just what volume, what's in that book, it's online on our website.
Well, if you go to the Beacon website and you know how to, and you have like an Iowa Land Records account, which is free, but you have to register, you can probably get all of that by spending some time online. I mean, the platform is nice, it's just right there.
What I'm thinking of is on our website, to have, I mean, there's precinct maps, there's township maps, fire district maps. I'm trying to think what's in the platform.
Ownership information, mostly.
It is,
but you have to look it up first from first.
Okay.
But I think, you know, we're sort of victim of our own success there in that. But everybody is, you know, it's change of the times. Just like you don't really reference the phone book anymore, you just go to like whitepages.com or you don't answer your phone anymore because that's all junk anyway. Just text me, you know, so it just reflects the changing time.
Okay.
So is a flat book the whole concept maybe we've outgrown? We're trying to figure that out.
Okay, any other questions under reference? Let's move to expenses.
But I do have a couple.
Sure.
And I should know what exactly are each poll books? Are we talking about hardware that goes out to the precinct?
We're talking about precinct Atlas.
Precinct Atlas.
Right. So we have a lot of equipment that we can pass to our precinct.
Mm-hmm.
We have the tabulator, which actually reads the ballots. We have the touchscreen OBI, which is where you can mark a ballot. And then it prints it, and that's read by the tabulator. And then we have, right now we have Precinct Atlas. And just so you know, a little background on Precinct Atlas, I know that's an election official. Linda, you've been an election official. You know what I'm talking about. But it's basically a register. We used to send out binders. We still send out binders because if the power goes down, you have to reverse the paper. But it lists every person in that precinct. By name and address, age, and then if they pass the ballot or not. So e-poll books are not mandated by the Code of Iowa, but if you don't use them, you have to process every election day register as a provisional voter, which is extremely time-consuming and onerous and expensive. So you're sort of mandated by reality to have them. We use Precinct Atlas, which was developed by Sarah Bordeaux, Ken Klein. She's retired from the Secretary of State's office, great auditor. When I became auditor 8 years ago, 2001, it was one of the first things I wanted to do because it was very innovative and it helped this process with voters more quickly. And we were pretty new with election day registration there, which is a big, onerous thing that election commissions have to do, and it really helps speed up the process. And it still does. But what's happened with our current poll book is that the vendor has changed, and cybersecurity even if you didn't read the news, you knew that was an issue in this last election. So a lot of the things that made Precinct Atlas improve voting experience in Story County were stripped out in the name of security. Now, I think those are going to get added back over time. I sit on the Precinct Atlas board. Kevin sits on the Futures Committee. And we definitely like having full votes, believe me. But it's become, and we see this a lot in the other affiliates, I'm more of a large county, small county, what works, you know, when they take something away from a county that has four precincts compared to 43, it's really different. I mean, just our processes are a lot more involved, and the effect is much greater. So, from what I gather from the vendor and from the board that I sit on, is we are going to get back to the point where we were in some years, but I don't think that Story County can wait for that day. And I certainly don't think that Kevin will remain working here if he has to spend a third of his time babysitting the program, which is what he did this past year. That's not a good thing for any of us. So if we had replaced Precinct Atlas today outright, and from what I hear, I mean, I do a lot of reading of tea leaves and studying the entrails of small animals to figure out what the future is going to bring us, but we're going to hit a point with Precinct Atlas where we're going to have to replace everything. So if we had to do that today, $162,000 just for the equipment. If we go to a vendor, I get back Kevin's time, which is to me the most valuable thing. I mean, for my office, we get back the portions of Precinct Atlas, which we don't have anymore, which is the pushing of the absentee data and the live data, so I don't have any ballots issues at certain precincts that we can support them. And we also go away from the Microsoft Windows platform, which is what's eating up all of our time in those updates. So, which Precinct Atlas is also looking to get away from, FYI. That's in their future plans as well. I just can't wait for the future. Maybe someday, May or whoever sits in this chair will come back and say, we need to go back to Precinct Atlas. But that's going to be at least 10 years from now, if not longer. So
you said $192,000,
$160,000
is equipment?
If I had to replace the equipment I have today, it would cost $162,000. But if I just, you know, I don't know, if we had to go out and buy all new.
Mm-hmm.
So just as a comparison.
So I may have missed something before. The specific plan now, or you're not sure your direction?
This is just for me going to the board meetings and us talking about the future. I mean, what we talk about a lot is the sort of the change, the massive changes in election law really dictated where Precinct Atlas went.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where all of the energies have been focused. So you have to rewrite code, you have to, and then once you rewrite code, then you have to find out all the places where those rewrites broke things. And we only do that by having an election and figuring that out. So if it works, but it, we're sort of busted back to the basics early days of Precinct Atlas and all the things that made all the innovations that Kevin has been able to implement at our polling places are gone. So it works, and I'm happy to keep using it. Don't get me wrong, but I just don't think it's the right solution for Story County at this point in time. I don't like saying that. I was a big fan of Precinct Atlas. I think it was really brought Iowa into the fore. It recognized, it's built by and for auditors and their offices. It's not coming off the shelf, but it's time to make that change. Like I say, I'm looking at the future.
$92,000 would get that change done by what's your date?
We're looking. We have quotes from two vendors. One is a vendor that we work with now. They do our results. Our election night results. So we've had really good success with that vendor. That vendor was able to turn over the entire state of Kentucky in 6 months and get them on the system. So that was like, I don't know how many precincts, 3,300 precincts. Yeah. So the other vendor, Kevin was going to go to a demonstration yesterday in Polk County that was. It was going to be yesterday. It got rescheduled right now because of weather, and so we can go to that. But they have demoed an actual Lynn County and Woodbury County. So I will say we don't talk about this a lot because it's sort of an embarrassing family secret. But I think all the big counties are looking at other e-poll book solutions right now because Precinct Atlas. We're on the small end of the big counties, but it's not doing it for us.
Do you envision the Secretary of State's office weighing in on this or trying to keep a solution?
Not with this current Secretary of State, no. With this predecessor, that was sort of the direction of going. That's two predecessors ago. We've had a lot of turnover in the Secretary of State's office, which hasn't helped things, but, auditors are, but, no. So right now, this is another thing. The Secretary of State's office right now is really focused on upgrading iVoters, which is our statewide database, which it needs to happen. But that is where all the energies are being expended right now. So in the short term, I would say no. And by short term, I mean like the next 4 years.
Thank you. Questions about other part of the expense report or expense section? I have none. Very clear. Very controlled.
Maybe one other just quick question.
Yeah, I'm sure there's most of
it. Top page 21. Overtime. Okay.
So we have an election side and we have an admin side.
Yeah.
And pretty much all the overtime you're going to see in my office is going to be on the election side because that gets voted to election even if it's someone, because everybody works for elections at the time. So we just. So if you have to look at those, there's like there's 90-10 and there's 8,000 for two person lists.
I'm not sure I'm not seeing those. It's on the election side. It looks like a management employee was getting all the time. Oh, drainage units.
Yeah, so that's Scott. So when he does your night drainage meeting, we just tend to pay him for those.
Okay.
But otherwise,
contract number. Where is he?
Yeah.
He is.
He is.
Management needs management line.
So there's like Kevin's side, and then there's like the rest of us.
Never mind.
But when Scott works overtime on election, he gets that. He's coded to election, so not to the man.
I was thinking it was an exempt position getting overtime. When I saw management.
Oh, yeah. No, that's a good question.
Okay, that's it. Thanks.
So I do have a question about the supplemental fund and use of it versus and the general fund. So if you could help me with the philosophy about why we don't charge election equipment to supplemental fund.
No, election equipment is actual election.
Actual election.
So if you look at the primary election next year, we put $65,000 in the election line item, but I think there's actually $95,000 in costs associated with that election, which could be shifted to the supplemental. And I think every time we pay for a federal election, we have this conversation. Where is the room in the county's budget? Is it in the general fund, or do we want to shift to supplemental and free up some general fund money? So it's not.
It's all about our levy rate.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
No, we're going to levy $3.50 in the general fund. So we put as much as we can in there in order to keep our supplemental levy as low as possible. Doesn't mean we can't shift stuff over. It's just there's going to be a direct cost to the taxpayers rather than coming out of the $350 that we're already left. So it's just philosophical.
Thank you. And we've paid for a couple of generals out of the supplemental, but then the next year it was better, so the primary came out of the general. It just depends on supplemental.
Right. Well, yeah, we just used it as a tool depending on where we were in our budget. And I believe it's completely appropriate to use it that way and move back and forth depending on what our budget looks like.
Yeah, we'll have the same conversation next year about the general election, which is, you know, keeps getting more expensive. And it's a bigger hit to whichever budget is taken.
Okay. Thank you. All right. Anything else? No? All right. Thank you very much. And thanks for all the assistance you give. Yeah, we'll be back at 9:00.